Okay. So that's the main thing, that John is given this revelation that God has given to Jesus. We were talking about this last week at lunch. Did Jesus not know any of this, do you think?
Yes,
he
does. Yes.
Yeah.
So I wonder if the given, when God gave to Jesus, if it isn't a matter of entrusting it, saying, now's the time to reveal it. So now it goes to the angel in order to be transmitted by the messenger to John, to the churches. So he's given, and why did he give it? Why is it given? It's to show what? Okay. To show the things which must soon take place. So this should be an encouragement to us as we study a book like this, that it is possible to understand it, isn't it? That God revealed it so that we and they could understand it. It wasn't to be a big mystery. It was so that it could be understood. And so we can understand it. That's just really encouraging to me. Sometimes I think we approach this book with the idea that there's no way we can really ever understand it. But I believe that God revealed it in order that we could understand it.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you think it's some of the things that in Daniel from last year were sealed up to reveal, you know, in the end time? I got to thinking about our study in Daniel, and there were things that he couldn't reveal.
Well, why was Daniel told to seal it up? Okay, so what we studied in Daniel were the things that were then sealed up. But sealed up in what sense, do you think? What sense were they sealed up? Because they've always had the book of Daniel. It's not ever been locked in a vault. But in what sense are those things kind of sealed out?
To reveal them.
They wouldn't be understood until we got closer to
them. Okay. They would, in a sense, be concealed in that they wouldn't understand them. It wasn't the time for those things to happen yet. Because in the book of Revelation, we'll see at the end of the book that John is told what? Not to seal it up, because these things are going to happen soon. So I think it's a sense that was so many years ago, that it was so far in the future that Daniel was given that, but not in a sense to, it wasn't for them, they weren't going to see it, but someday they would. So it's a show of things which must soon take place, and that word soon, what did that mean? Okay, quickly. So once these things begin, how are they going to transpire? Quickly. It's like labor and childbirth, isn't it? You know, that the time goes on, when the labor pains begin, you know that the events are going to happen then in a timely fashion, quickly. You hope. Okay. I say that as a very slow laborer myself, so. All right. Now, we're going to take one look at the churches. Let me erase this. I'm sure you all have this from past times, so. It's so nice to have a board that erases. For a long time, you didn't have one that you could erase. Okay, so John was told to write the letters to the seven churches, and we know these were circular letters that went around, and then, of course, we get to share in them. So if the Lord is speaking to us through these churches, let's think what his message would be for each one. We have, first of all, which church is first? And what would the Lord's message to us be from the letter to the book of the book of Ephesians? The letter to Ephesus. Okay, don't leave your first love, right? Don't leave first. We see them as an example of those who did, and so our admonition would be not to. We aren't to be like them. We aren't to leave the first love. If we do, what are we to do?
Remember.
Okay, remember and repent. Turn around, go the other way. Okay, the second church was? No, that's how Kay says it. Summer, yeah. DNA in there. Okay. So what is the lesson from Smyrna? Smyrna. It's easy to remember this when we think about myrrh, huh? And myrrh and the crushing of the myrrh. Okay, they were suffering. So what's the message to us? Okay, don't fear suffering, first of all, right? Don't be afraid. Don't fear it. But when suffering comes and tribulation comes, then we persevere and be faithful even unto what?
Death.
It's so hard to write up and not get dizzy. Okay, the next one is Pergamum. What should we do in light of the Church of Pergamum?
Don't compromise.
Okay, don't compromise. What else? Hold fast. Anything else? Don't deny. Don't deny his name. Don't deny the faith. Okay. What's the next one? Lies, Tyra. What did we learn from them? What are we not to do?
Tolerate.
We don't tolerate. Don't tolerate the false teaching in the church. But do what? Okay. Do you ready to do? Repent. Okay, the next one was what's the word for us from Sardis? Okay, wake up from being dead, right? They're a hard one because they had the reputation for what? Being alive. So they were a church that had been founded on the good foundation of the Word of God. And they had that reputation that they were still that way, but they had drifted away, and they were no longer on that foundation, so they were dead. So they did all the things that maybe looked right, but they were still dead. So they had to wake up. Wake up. What about Philadelphia?
Hold on to what you have.
Okay, hold on to what you have. They were the church with the open door, right? And they were being faithful. They were going through that door. They were doing the things they were supposed to do. But what's always the possibility? You might not, right? So it's a hold on. Hold on to what you have. Persevere. What about Laodicea? Okay, so what are we to do? Not be lukewarm, but to repent. Be zealous. When you're lukewarm, are you zealous? Zealots are not lukewarm people. Be zealous in what? What were they invited to do?
To sit by
and buy from him. They thought they had it all, didn't they? But did they have anything really?
No.
No. They thought they were great, but they were really beggarly and poor and destitute. So you could buy from me the things that you need. And then do what? Open the door. Who's on the outside of this church? So opened the door, let him come in. All right. That's a quick review of what we've already done. Now, what does the word overcomers mean? What is the word overcome? Okay, it's that word, N-I-K-E-O-A-O. Which is what the word what comes from. We love that? Nike. Which means what? Victory. To be a conqueror, to be victorious. That wonderful shoe that we love is for the it's for those that race, right? So they can be victorious. I told the story last night when those first came out when I was very much younger, and it was Nikes and Adidas. And I had a friend in youth group that had got her new pair of shoes, and she called. She said, "I got me Adidas." Adidas. That's the feminine version of Adidas, I think. Okay, so Nike is the idea of victory, to prevail, to prevail. When you prevail and you persevere and you are the victor, that's the word. Now, 1 John 4. And let's see, 4 or 1 John 5, 4 and 5 kind of gives us a definition of what it is to overcome. What is it? Okay, so everyone who is born of God overcomes the world. So what does it take to be an overcomer? Who is an overcomer? Okay, so to be born of God, to be born again, then you are now an overcomer. So is there any different class of Christian? There's the overcomers, and there's the almost overcomers, and then there's the squeakers that just maybe possibly get close. Is there different levels?
No.
No, there's not. I think this is what we're learning, is that there's really, you, if you're a believer, you are a what? You are an overcomer. But what are we told to do? We're told to test ourselves to be sure we're in the faith, aren't we? And one of the ways that we can see is, are we overcoming? Because if we are overcoming, because we are overcoming now, aren't we? It's not just someday that we're going to have to overcome something. It's every single day we have things we have to overcome. So the believer overcomes the world. Now, what does it mean to overcome the world? What's the world? Okay, it's the world system that's under the dominion of who? Okay, Satan. That is the world. It's not, you know, so much the physical world that we see. It's the world system that is under the control of the evil one. And it creeps into every single thing, doesn't it? Every single thing. We are to overcome, if we're believers, we overcome the world. What else do we overcome? Okay, the flesh and the devil. Who overcame him for us? Okay, and so because of him, we also overcome the devil. Now, what does Revelation 12:11 tell us about overcomers? Okay, who's it talking about in particular in that passage? Okay, it's the martyrs that overcame in that situation, but they did it by the blood of the Lamb. It's not we who overcome, is it? We only overcome through the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, which is all about him. That's a specific group that's going to be, we're going to look at in Revelation, other parts. Okay, and then what about Revelation 17? Who else overcame? Okay, the Lamb overcame. And what does he overcome? In Revelation 17. Okay, the beast and those 10 kings. Think about that confederated Roman Empire. He will overcome because he is the King of Kings, isn't he? So he will overcome. All right. Now we want to look at, your chart, I totally trashed my chart, so I had to make myself a new chart that I could actually read. But we're going to look at the churches, all these seven churches, and look at what they had to overcome, how they were to overcome it, and what the result would be. So get your little chart out that you did. Mm-hmm. anybody else a hummer in this class? Do you hum? I was at Hobby Lobby the other day, and I was checking out, and I was just, you know, putting my things up on the counter, and the girl said, "That's my favorite song, too." Like, what am I humming now? I think it was, yeah, it was Rock of Ages or something. I seen a sign, and yeah. Well, this is off the subject, but it was funny. I remember they had video stores in the old days, a few years back, like a number of years. There was some movie, what was it called? I don't remember now. I hadn't even seen the movie, but it was playing on the back of the movie screen, and the movie at the back of the thing, and I was checking out my movie, and the guy once again said, "Well, that's my favorite song, too. I love that song." What song are you talking about? And he told me, and I said, "I don't think I know that song." And he said, "Well, you're humming it." Oh, but it apparently been playing on the little TV in the back, and I picked it up. Oh, well. That's extra. Okay, I'm going to write each one of these churches in a different color so we can keep them straight because they're all going to run together on that board. I know. Okay. So the first one, once again, is Ephesus. All right. What did they have to overcome? Okay. They had to overcome leaving their first love. That's what they had to overcome. Now, how are they told to overcome it? Okay, remember, first of all. Remember what? Okay. Remember from where you've fallen. Remember how it used to be. Remember those early days. Now, think back to those days. Remember those things. And when you remember that, then you do what? Okay, repent. And how do we know they repented? What are they to do next?
The things they did at first.
Okay, do those things they did at first. So we can say we repent, but how are we going to know there's repentance in a person's life? Okay, there's fruit, right? There should be something that happens in your life. So they're to remember and then do the deeds they did at first. And then what? Persevere, won't they? Weren't they? Persevere and not grow weary. Don't be weary in persevering. Okay. And if they did that, what were they going to reap? What was the reward that was going to come their way?
Eat of the tree of life.
Okay. Eat of the tree of life. Where do we see the tree of life first in God's word? Okay, in the Garden of Eden. Now, what do we know about the tree of life? What was the situation there that brought the tree of life into our periphery? Okay, what had happened? We had man in the garden having fellowship with God, sinless, and what did they do? Okay, man sinned. They ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They overthrew that fellowship with God and the dominion that God had given them, and they gave it up to someone else. And so now God says, now that you're under someone else's rule, we don't want you to eat of the tree of life, because what would happen if they ate of the tree of life? They'd live forever in that state. So, not to eat of the tree of life. So it was forbidden. It was guarded off with flashing swords, the angels, and all that. Okay, so we see it again then in Revelation. What do we see about the tree of life in Revelation? Who's free to eat of it then? Okay, why are the overcomers free to eat of the tree of life? Because then if they eat of the tree of life, they're going to live forever, right? But what's happened in between the Garden of Eden and Revelation? Okay, the cross and the blood, and now the overcomers are made clean, and it is perfectly great to live forever when you are free of sin and cleansed by the blood of Christ. So that's what we see in Ephesus. All right, what about Smyrna? We're going to use red for them because of the blood. Okay, they had to overcome tribulation and suffering, didn't they? How are they to overcome it?
Through
not, don't be afraid. Persevere, even into death, and if they do, what are they going to be sure of? Crown of life, receive the crown, which is life. And what?
They won't be hurt by the second death.
Okay, not hurt by the second death. You die once, but then you don't die again, do you? What is the second death? It's a lake of fire. Who is going to suffer the lake of fire, the second death? Okay, Satan and all those really who belong to him. Hmm? They're the ones that are gonna suffer the second death. But those that are persevering and persevere even unto death, until death, will not be hurt by the second death. Okay, next one is Pergamum. What did they have to overcome?
False teaching.
False teaching that was, and they're being influenced by who? Well, ultimately, who are they influenced by? Okay, which led to immorality. So they had, okay, so they had to overcome that false teaching. They were being influenced by Satan, and that was leading them to immorality. How are they to overcome it? Okay, repent. Do what? Hold fast. Well, keep his deeds till the end, right? Keep his deeds until the end. No, that's the wrong one. I should have written my turning card. Okay, repent. And don't deny the faith. Right? Okay. Now, if they did that, what were they assured of?
Hidden manna.
Okay, given hidden manna.
White stones.
All right, and those white stones, with what on them?
Their name.
The new name. Written on them, which no one else knows. No one knows. Now, what's the idea between a hidden manna? Where did we see manna for the first time?
Exodus.
Exodus in the wilderness, and here they had been rescued and brought into the wilderness, and they didn't have any food. So, what did God do for them? Okay, provide the manna out of heaven, the food from heaven. What did manna mean? Remember? What is it? Yes, what is it? They weren't sure, were they, what it actually was. But God provided for them. And then what do we see about Jesus? What does he say about himself? Okay, he's the bread that comes out of heaven. So the meaning, the understanding of what manna is getting a little bit clearer, isn't it? Because he says, I am the bread of life. And so we know that someday, the sustenance that we have is going to be what? Yeah, he is going to provide everything we need through himself. Of course, he has, isn't it? The idea of Jehovah Jireh, God has provided, that he has provided himself. He has provided himself for us. And so the hidden manna is all that he is going to feed us with in the new Jerusalem and the eternity that is to come, that we will receive the hidden manna. What about the white stone with that name? I know there's nobody really knows for sure about the white stone, so... Throw out some of your teeth. Well, okay.
I had read years ago that it was like an invitation to a banquet, but a thought hit me yesterday when I was thinking about what if it was a birth certificate, like a new birth certificate.
Hmm. Oh, that's a nice thought. Okay. Or it could be that invitation to a banquet. What banquet are we all invited to? Okay, to the wedding feast of the Lamb. Okay? So it could be that, it could be the victor's spoils that they say they give them as prizes, the white stones. It could be something to do with that. What about the name that no one knows that's written on it? Mm-hmm. Whose name is that that's written on there? It's probably our name, isn't it? But what does that tell you someday? What are you going to have? A new name. We were talking about this last night that, you know, your parents name you a name, and that's your name, but God, in eternity past, when he thought about you, he had a name for you. He had a name for me. And that someday that name might be what's written on that stone that we receive.
It's kind of like in the Jewish culture. They name their baby ahead of time because they want that baby to bear the character of the name. Some of our names bear our character, some don't.
Mm-hmm.
But this one will.
Mm-hmm. This one will. And it's a name that
in
no
eternity.
One knows. And I think that someday when we get that name, we look at it, we'll say, that's my name. You know, we'll have that sense of, this is my name. This is my name. Just really kind of, it's like one of those one more things to think about that is, you know, that God has for us that we don't even know. Yeah. Even he will have a new name. Yeah, we see that in Revelation. He has that name written on him. Yeah.
Now as Christians from Christ, we're small Christ Christians, so our name would be whatever his name is probably in the game.
It probably will have that bit of his name in it.
Yeah. And everything it might be hooked up to Ephesians 2:10, where it says, you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, prepared beforehand. That name he knew when he named you what works were laid out for you to walk in.
Yeah, probably is all wrapped up in that.
The good deeds.
Ellie, what did you say?
Everything's new in the end. A new heaven, a new earth, a new name, a new worship, a new everything. It's going to be exciting.
I know. Something new all the time. I think it's going to feel new all through eternity. It's going to keep on feeling fresh and new. It's exciting to even think about, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he has a name, just like, you know, a father might have a mother, a name for a child that, you know, you call, but no one else does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one is Thyatira. What do they have to overcome? Okay, they have to overcome tolerating that false teacher. How are they to overcome that? First of all, don't what?
Don't fall into immorality.
Okay, not to tolerate. They don't tolerate, first of all. Don't. What are they supposed to, should they have done? Okay. So don't tolerate it, first of all. And then they're to keep whose deeds? Not her deeds, but whose deeds? Keep his deeds until the end. Idea of persevering once again, huh? That should tell us something about overcomers. Well, how will you know if someone is an overcomer? As you go through life with your brothers and sisters in Christ, how do you know they're overcomers? How do we know? Okay, it's that idea of perseverance, isn't it? They persevere in the faith. Does that mean that we never slip back and fall into sin for a time? No, but what happens if we truly belong to him? He brings us back, doesn't he?
You brought this out when we studied Kings and the prophets about David. He finished well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. He had his slips into sin, and he repented, and he went the other way. He did finish well. There's consequences to sin, isn't there? We saw that with David, for sure.
I think that you'll see a dependency on God and not an independency in myself.
Mm-hmm.
Going
to hold fast to him, huh? Keep his deeds, not our own. It's not about us, not about anything else. It's about him. So keep his deeds and don't do what? Don't soil your garments, huh? Talk about the white garments and the purity there. Okay, they do all these things. What are they going to reap? What's the reward?
Authority over the nations.
Okay. Authority over the nations. What time is this speaking of?
Millennium.
Okay. The millennium. And we know that who is going to be on the throne in a millennium?
Jesus.
Who's given him his authority? Okay, the Father has given him his authority. He will be on the throne. And he has given authority then to who? He will give authority to who?
His son.
Okay, to his own, to then be the rulers in the millennium. Because we know that during the millennial kingdom, it'll be the nations that come in that have made it through the tribulation, and they'll have children, and they'll live longer, but there'll be another time of the world being repopulated, and during that time, there's going to be some that will believe and some that won't believe, but they're going to be kept under the control by the one king on the throne and then his emissaries that rule during that time. And so there will be peace and there will be order, but it will have to be enforced to be there. But it will be, because there's only be one ruler, and his name will be the only name. Okay, they're going to be given authority over the nations, and then what else?
The morning star.
What is the morning star? Okay, he is the morning star. What does that tell us about him? What's the morning star? It's the brightest, isn't it? The brightest that shines in the darkness. So what's going to happen someday when he comes back? It's going to come back at a time when the world is dark. The world is dark now, but we have no idea how dark the world really can be. And he will come back when the world is at its darkest. He is going to light it up, isn't he? He is the morning star. You can't really see the light so much until it's really dark, can you? No. Yeah.
I have a question. I may be showing my ignorance, but my mother used to have us go out in the evening and see the evening star. But I do not recall ever going out to see the morning star. I don't think I've ever done that. Have you ever seen it?
Yes.
It's in the east, but it had the sense of it comes up right before the sun comes up, and it's the brightest star. I'm going to look for it.
Venus, yeah, I heard that too. Yeah. Well, usually in the morning we're just kind of getting up, you know, we're not really interested in the stars. Yeah.
It's in the east also? So is that also Venus?
I don't remember.
I don't know. I just know we always go out and look for this bright star.
All right, so he's going to be that star that comes in the darkest. You know, last night we were talking a little bit about how we lived out in the country for a while, and we lived out in the country, and then they built a school behind us. And before the school came, we could see the northern lights sometimes, and we could see the stars so bright. But then once the darkness wasn't so much, then we couldn't really see much. And we think about that it's going to be really dark before he comes, and he's going to shine like the morning star.
And Diana, it's like he to us now is only known in part, but we will know him fully.
Yes. Even as we are fully known.
Yes. Yes. Everything completed.
Everything completed. Does that mean we're going to know everything that God knows?
No.
I think people get confused about that. We are not going to know everything, but we're going to know everything that humans are supposed to know. We're not going to know it all. He'll still be God, and we'll still be his creatures. Okay, Sardis. What do they have to overcome? Being dead, right? Yeah. Overcome being dead. How are they to overcome it?
Wake up.
Wake up and what?
Strengthen the things that remain.
Okay, strengthen what remains. They have that foundation, what was left of it, strengthen it. They strengthen what remains. Remember what they heard, keep it, repent. And if they do, what are they going to be rewarded with? Okay. White garments. What does white garments signify? Okay. Purity and the righteous deeds of the saints. Because everything that we do in the flesh, is it worthy of white? No, it's like a filthy rag, isn't it? Everything we do outside of Christ is like a filthy rag. All of our deeds are like filthy garments. It's only because of him that we have the white garments. The white, our deeds are purified because they're worked through the Holy Spirit. Okay, clothed in white garments, and what else?
Not have their name erased.
Okay. Name not erased from the book. Is that a threat or a promise? Okay, it's a promise that if your name is in the book of life, will it ever be erased?
No.
That once your book is, your name is in the book, it is never going to be erased. And then what else? He will confess us. What does that mean? Okay, so someday when we come before him, he will say to the Father, these are mine. He'll identify with you and be pleased to call you brethren, right? Mm-hmm. We belong to him. He will identify with us, will claim us as his own.
And give us to the Father.
The Father will give him the us to him, I think. We are his prize. Okay. What about Philadelphia? What did they have to overcome?
Nothing.
Well, they did. They had some troubles they were working on or with. What was tormenting them? With those liars, yeah. They had liars they were dealing with. The liars, they had to overcome the liars, and the testing that they were undergoing wasn't easy for them to do what they did. I mean, think because they were doing everything right that they had no trials, but they did. Liars and testing. Which makes it all the more dear that we think that they were being obedient. Their life wasn't, they were in a, just like the others, they were living in an area that was overridden with idols and worldly things, yet they were persevering and doing what they were supposed to. How were they overcome the liars, the testing? Okay, keep his word. Okay, keep his word. Don't deny his name. Hold fast and persevere. Persevere is a really important one. Okay, and if they did, what's the promise to them? Pillars in the temple. What would a pillar picture?
Strength.
Okay, strength, security. I think about them all living in that land or that earthquake-ridden land, and you know, knowing what that is to have that instability. They were going to be pillars. They're going to be that they had that stability, that permanence in God's temple. And they would have what written on them? Yeah, all those names written all over. Is it going to be tattoos or what? Could be the name of God, the New Jerusalem, and his name written on them. But what does that tell you? If you have all these, the place where you reside, the king, you know, your father, what's all written on you? What does that tell you about your condition? Yeah, you belong there. That is your identity, is written all over you. This is where you belong. This is home, isn't it? That you're part of this family living in this place, and you belong there. We belong there. We will have that. If we get lost, they'll say, send them back to the New Jerusalem.
Read last summer, it was talking about how in the new heaven you can finally be who God originally created you to be.
Oh, is that Terry Bridges' heaven?
Randy Alcorn.
Well, we're home.
And there really is no temple. You know, I use that expression all the time, pillar of strength. Maybe that's what will be, is pillars of strength in the New Jerusalem. Because the Lamb and the Lord.
And the temple. Mm-hmm. And the light. Right. But Laodicea.
Lukewarm.
They have to overcome being lukewarm, don't they? How do they overcome that? Because they thought they had it all. They thought they were rich and just completely complete. He says, you're poor, you're beggarly. What do you have to do to overcome being lukewarm? First, they have to buy from him the things they need, don't they? Buy from him. The gold, the clothes. Buy from him. And then repent. And be, we said it before, be what? Zealous. It's a good word for us today, isn't it? We might not feel like our hearts are lukewarm, but are we always zealous in our life for him? Think about, you know, being a zealot, or being a fanatical person. You know, we look at, oh, he's a football fanatic, and we know what that means, and you know this, but that's what we're supposed to be, aren't we? We are supposed to be fanatics. Yeah.
So, buy from him kind of is a trip in my brain, because it's a gift. What we have from his, it's a free gift. However, in Laodicea, since they were so wealthy, is that the language that they understood was because they purchased everything they needed. They were so independent. And so they had to buy from Jesus.
That's more the idea of acquiring from him, not so much
right. Okay.
Purchase.
There's a passage in Isaiah, too, that says, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and drink. Yeah. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price.
Okay.
So even though it says buy, it says without money.
I think, Melissa, it's like what you were saying about dependency.
Yeah.
He's the source. It's always from him, yeah. They thought they could get it materially, but he's the only source for what they really need to be really wealthy, to be really sufficient, and everything is from him. Okay, if they do that, and one more thing, what were they supposed to do?
Open the door.
Open the door, let him in. Open the door. And if they open the door and are zealous and repent and get what they need for him for eternal life, then what does he tell them? Sit on his throne with him. Sit on the throne. I remember Kay, I don't know if it was the names of God study you're talking about. How having access to the Father, we crawl up on his lap, you know, call him, you know, Abba Father, Daddy Father. So, I want to sit on his throne with him. Okay, what else did you learn from this? This has been such a great study. We have a couple minutes. Let's just get some. What stood out to you as you think about being overcomers? First of all, you know, we're all called to examine ourselves. Are we overcomers? You know, we don't want to let that go by without saying that, you know, examine your life in light of all these things. Are you persevering? Do you deny the faith? Do you hold on to him? Are you afraid of suffering? Are you going to persevere? You know, what about, you know, all these things? You know, think about them all personally. It's not just the churches. Churches are made up of people, and it's us to think about these things as individuals. So we really want to make sure that we do that. But what do we have to look forward to? It's a lot, isn't it? How long is eternity?
Forever.
Something to even think about, isn't it? When you think about the tribulations of life and how do they really compare to eternity?
I think it will
one of Kay's very first lectures, she said Revelation is about the shortness of time and the length of eternity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we see that even in these letters to the churches, as they focus on, you know, he's the great physician. He's, you know, sight, they all come in for their physical. Okay, well, this is what you've got wrong with you. Now, this is what you need to do. This is your prescription. And if you do, these are the results you're going to have. You know, he's given them all their prescription. And he, the healer, wants to heal. Is he willing that any should perish? No. It's all about the harvest, isn't it? I was thinking about that driving in today because I live out, you know, we go through all the farm to get here, and the roads have been, of course it was raining today, and everything was, there are big clumps of mud all over the road because the farmers have been really working this week to get those crops in, and thinking about how that's really what it's about, isn't it? It's about the harvest, that the harvest is ready, someday the harvest is going to come, but in between that time, there's all that work to be done, and it's going to be muddy sometime, and it's going to be messy sometimes, it's going to be loud, and there's, of course, we have the tractors in the road, all kinds of things, but it's not, there's work to be done, but someday the harvest will be reaped. And when the harvest is celebrated, there's going to be a great, great celebration. And we have that to look forward to.
This sounds really corny, but in church we were talking about last Sunday about different worship styles and different songs and types of worship. And I was just thinking, each one of us individually, everyone, we're created with a purpose, and we each have our own note in the heavenly choir that's to create a praise to God.
No, it's not corny. I like corny. It's okay. Yeah. Anybody?
I have two girls, and my son doesn't ask this, but they now are in college, and you know we talk about stuff, and they'll say, "So, because they're twins," and they'll be like, "Did it hurt when you had us? You know, go back to the birth pains of, you know, having babies." And I think that is such an analogy of like how God did that in the beginning, giving us those pains, saying we're going to have these pains now because you all got sinful. That was our punishment. But yet we all know after that, you forget the pain.
That's right.
And then you have the perseverance of raising your kids to get through and to stick with it. And many times I've said, I'm not going to give up, you know, when it would get tough and they would be... You know, I mean, even in college, you know, you're never done when you're a grad. You're never done.
You're
never done. You know, and I still want to talk to my mom. And so it's like, you're never done. But I think God's analogy of that is like the birth pains of the world, too. It's getting through it. And it is a finite amount of time. And then when it's over, we can't even imagine the eternal reward of that. So, you know, I think he set up things in life for us to kind of go through and persevere so that it's reminiscent of what will come.
And that's a really good example to me, because, of course, I've had some babies, so it's fresh in my mind all the time, but when you think about childbirth, and if you stand outside of it, you think, I don't think I could ever do that. I don't think I could ever go through all that. But the Lord gives you the strength, you know, moment, second by second, to persevere through it. And I think however bad things get, however, whatever we ever have to face, that we might look now and say, there's no way I could ever be a martyr or do any of these things. And but if we got to that point, the Lord would give us the strength, minute by minute,
right,
to persevere.
Into it too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one way or the other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And along with that, after you go through the pain, you have this joy, you have this love and this joy. And Scripture said that the Lord, for the joy set before him, endured the cross.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're part of that joy, aren't we? For sure, for him. Yeah.
It was, this lesson was one I put aside because time did not allow, but I finished it up last night. It was like, it all came together in the contrast between earth and heaven. We have been given on earth power and truth, authority to perform everything God wants us to do. Mm-hmm. And they did too. And in heaven, we'll be given authority.
Mm-hmm.
Not so different, but in a different place.
Mm-hmm. Based on what? What is our position then going to be based on? What we've done here, isn't it? How we handle his responsibilities here.
They prove it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these churches prove that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Thank you.
They're a good lesson for us, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
It has been really, really, really good.
Very good.
I had something else on my head to say. I can't think what it was now.
I thought about the new name. When we are born, we're given a name. Then we, through Christ, are born again, and we need a new, another name.
Into his family.
Yeah.
His family name. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Y'all coming back for part two?
Yes.
Be in prayer for good weather for the winter. It's a long study, and so we want to make sure that we really ask the Lord to please. Of course, I know he has bigger purposes in weather than just us, but we can ask anyway. Yeah. Oh, this will have, we have this coming spring, and then we'll have next fall in part three, and then the next spring in part four. So, yeah. Yeah. It'll be a while. And like I told you, it breaks up that this next semester we get an overview of the whole rest of the book. And then part three is the New Testament prophecies and how they relate to Revelation. And part four is the Old Testament. So we'll be looking at it from every different side, which is really, I think, just a wonderfully laid out study. I'm really thinking we're going to, you know, have a lot of understanding from all that. So we want to be those that persevere, right? Right.